You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Yes, sir. It is NCAA tournament time, Bart Gregory. We're back. Year two. 2 years in a row for our Bulldogs. And you know what's great about it? We are getting to sit here and record this show while other people are worried about playing in Dayton. We are getting ready to go to Charlotte. And I get it. Look, man, you got a tough first-round game. Such is the danger of being an 8 seed. You have an epically tough second-round game if you get there. And I get it. That's just the way it goes. We have to play North Carolina on their home court if we can get there.
Well, if you were to play any of the one seeds, would North Carolina be the team you'd want to play?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying,
yes
too.
Yes and yes.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. If I could play anybody on Thursday, I don't know that Michigan State would be that team. And the reason is they're us.
They are. And I'll tell you this. The thing before we get into to talking about the numbers and stuff is I would be very interested to see when they're giving out officials' assignments and the regional director or whoever gives out and says, all right, guys, this is the one you got to look for, because this is the one everybody in the country is talking about being the defensive game, and how much will they allow us in Michigan State to play, because their defensive efficiency is top 10. Ours is top 15. And, hey, this game could be played in the 70s. This game could be played in the 40s.
So, you know, the KenPom ratings that you look at, KenPom, if you just run their numbers, has us losing this ball game 67-66. And it's not crazy to think the game could be played in that score.
No, not at all.
I was looking at one of the papers from Detroit, I think it was, and their prediction was 69-66, Michigan State wins. And what they're banking on, it's a team that was a Sweet 16 team a year ago. There were high expectations. But I'm telling you, man, there's just so many comparisons between these two teams. Before we get into those, though, we will remind you we're in the Farm Bureau studios. Farm Bureau, they have agents in all 82 of Mississippi's counties. And in all 82 of those counties, you can watch us play basketball Thursday earlier than I would like, 12:15 local time, meaning local at the venue, 11:15 our time here. But if you win, you get to sit around the hotel and you get to enjoy Friday watching some other people play. I don't know, man. It's kind of like the Super Regionals in baseball. It's kind of cool if you go ahead and win.
Get it out of the way.
Win two games early. That's happened. Remember we beat Clemson out here? We win two games and other teams haven't even started to play yet.
It's kind of like playing the Thursday night football game.
Yeah, you just
– and if you win, you're like, man, you watch football the rest of the weekend. You're so excited. If you lose, you got in the yard, you're not even watching
football. Got the TV off. This team, so, all right, Michigan State. You know, we think about the things that we don't like about our schedule. We don't like the fact that we lost to Georgia Tech. We lost to Southern. You know, this is a team that dropped their first game of the year against James Madison. This is a team that started off 1-4 in their league when we had our troubles in league play. We talked so much about how we needed to win coming down the stretch. We went 2-5 in our last seven games. At Michigan State, they were talking about how they had to play well down the stretch. They were 2-5 in their last 12 games. We had Tolu Smith miss time with a broken foot. Well, sophomore center Jackson Kohler missed the first 14 games after a foot surgery at Michigan State. There's a lot between these two, and the thing that just keeps jumping out at me, Bart, you said this. Anybody who has a defensive efficiency higher than us gets my attention.
Yeah. Now, you do have to factor in, I mean, the Big Ten Conference is not what you see from an offensive standpoint. I think the SEC this year, when you start looking at offensive content, is really good. I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, there's some teams in this league can get after now. It's a little bit different style than the Big Ten. You know, they had back-to-back home losses back in late February against Iowa and then Ohio State, and they lost both those games close. And you mentioned, you know, losing some games down the stretch, and the games that they lost down the stretch, they barely lost. Now, they beat Northwestern. That was a team that we beat early this year. They won by four at home in early March. You look back to early in the season, they lost at Northwestern, so they split with a team that you played. They had a big win against Illinois at home, and Illinois is a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. We had a big win against Tennessee at home, and you know they're going to be a 2 seed. And so there are some equally good wins for both of these teams and kind of some head-scratching losses.
Here's one that jumped out at me and kind of running the numbers on these two teams. One of the things that you look at is tempo. It's basically how many possessions you're going to have in a game. And we are kind of known as a team that wants to slow it down. Our tempo was at 67 this year, which was at about 200th in the country. Their tempo, meaning there were 199 teams faster than us in terms of tempo. Michigan State's tempo, there were 304 teams who played faster than they do. And we like to talk about us slowing it down. I mean, this could bring back memories of, like, Bob Boyd and the early years, right?
Well, the first thing that brings to my mind is how will empty possessions be in this basketball game? And what I count an empty possession as is first a turnover, and the second thing is a bad shot.
We turn it over a lot more than they do.
We turn it over a lot more than they do, and the thing you can ill afford to have in a game like this is unforced turnovers that, one, lead to easy buckets, but, two, you've got to have some efficiency on the offensive side because you have to treasure possessions in a game like this, and you can't have just wasted turnovers and wasted possessions.
We shoot more free throws than they do, and I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, yeah, that going back to the possession situation, when you're not going to have just a ton of possessions, it makes free throws accentuated even more.
They shoot fewer three-pointers than we do. We don't think about ourselves being a three-point team. One of the things you like to look at is where do your points come from? For us, 29% of our points come from three-point range. For Michigan State, 26%. So 292nd in the country in that point distribution. They are 25th, though, in the country in terms of the percentage of points they get inside the three-point line. And so they get a lot of points kind of the old-fashioned way, playing a little mid-range game. Now, they haven't shot it great from three-point range. As of late, they were better early. They've got several guys on their team scored more early, have seen their numbers come down, have seen their shooting percentages come down. And, you know, just as a State fan, we're always just conditioned for something to go wrong, right?
Oh.
For that guy to get hot.
As a State fan, is it a State or their State?
Oh, good point.
Because they go by State, too.
Well, and so we do have to reveal this. You came in on St. Patrick's Day into the booth saying, and this was before it had been decided.
Yes.
And you said, I should have bought this sweatshirt that was the Green State sweatshirt.
The Green State sweatshirt because it was like you said, it was St. Patrick's Day. And then later that day, we find out we're playing Michigan State, who also goes by State. Who also goes by MSU, who also goes, yeah, okay.
So I'm going to give you the guy to worry about. His name is Jaden Akins. He's a junior. They played Michigan. He goes 7 out of 10 from three-point range. That was on January 30. Since that time, he's shooting 30% from long range. What does that tell you? Knowing the history of Charlie Winfield and Bart Gregory, what's Mr. Akins in great danger of doing on Thursday?
Going 6 for 8.
Yeah.
and the two
the
one he misses
from the logo.
And the two he misses are going to be offensive putbacks.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man. So you got to watch out for him. But, man, it's this is a game. Let's step away from Michigan State a minute and talk about us. When you look at this basketball team, we got our warts, right? We got our flaws. But the thing that we do is we play exceptionally hard. I thought the performance that we had at the SEC tournament was impressive. It was fun. It was fun to watch us play after halftime of the LSU game. Is this a team that could, man, bring back the ghost of 96?
Well, I don't know about the ghost of 96 because that's a big ghost right there. But, hey, last year Florida Atlantic was a 9 seed and went all the way to the Final Four and, you know, got knocked out in the semifinals against San Diego State. Last year Arkansas was an 8 seed. They got to the Sweet 16. Michigan State, you know, they have a lot of players back off last year's team that went to the Sweet 16. This has been kind of a down year for them. So you kind of wonder if this is like new life for them. Now, I will say this. I think having gone to the NCAA tournament last year, I thought us going to the Sweet 16 in 1995 set us up beautifully for 1996 because the tournament is different. You go 2 days early. They have the media days tomorrow. They'll have to practice. And, of course, we're recording the show Tuesday night. And they'll practice on Wednesday. Then they'll play on Thursday. And going through the media and going through the NCAA tournament where you have the open practices, just having that experience that we had last year helps you out a lot to calm you down. And so that's why I feel better about it, because this is not our first rodeo in a while.
All right, but let me ask you, as a player, do you think our guys felt like they were in the tournament? Meaning, doesn't it feel like when you go to Dayton, you're only kind of like half in?
Well, somewhat. But the thing about the Dayton crowd is a little bit different is because it's almost like Omaha where they, you know, they buy a ton of tickets every year and that place is packed. And so they really – it's a different feel. It is a different feel, the NCAA tournament, because a lot of times when you go to the tournament, it's not fully packed with fans, as crazy as that sounds. But you do go through all the media stuff, and it is a little bit different. You know, they don't let you have the Cokes on the sideline, and they make you wear the – you know, they make you use the cups and all that good stuff. It's just it's a little bit different. It's a little bit weird playing in the NCAA tournament.
Morning, what do you think about that? We just played a number of games at noon.
I think that helps you. I think it helps you because it's going to be a 12-15 game there. And what did you just play in the SEC tournament? You played three games in a row at noon. And so you're used to getting up in the morning. That means your pregame meal is going to be at 8 o'clock. That means you've got breakfast pregame. It's easy to get guys out of the bed at 8 o'clock in the morning. And it doesn't mess up your whole day. If you're playing at 3 and then all of a sudden your pregame, or say you're playing at 2, if you play at 2:30, your pregame's at 10:30. And so guys get up, they're hungry. I mean, the day doesn't match up well. If you ever travel with teams and understand the timing of a team, playing at 12 is actually a pretty good deal.
Unless you're trying to play baseball in Hoover, Alabama. That 21, we got run rule twice. Which then brings up another question. Are conference tournaments worthless for teams who are in? Meaning in baseball, right?
Oh, I get it. I completely get it. I think baseball is different because, you know, you're getting ready for the NCAA tournament and pitching is different. You know, basketball, you're going to play every day. And so you may pitch it a little bit differently in Hoover. Who pitched the weekend before? And then you get into matchup situations. I think I think the tournament does matter in basketball, where it's not as important in baseball.
All right, when you look at this Michigan State team, Tyson Walker, the first guy that comes to mind for me, he's a guard, 6'1", 37% from three-point range. They actually have two guys who have made 59 three-pointers on the year, Tyson Walker and then my guy Jaden Akins, who I was predicting to go for 48 in the game on Thursday. Walker's averaging 18 points a game. He's a guy you got to watch out for. Hoggard is the other guy. A.J. Hoggard, to me, is the other guy. And part of what you look at there is not just the raw stats, but what you look at is in terms of the percentage of time they're used in the offensive possession, meaning when they're in the game, how often do you use those guys? When those two guys are on the floor, Walker is going to take 32% of the shots when he's in the game. Hoggard is going to take 22. Those are guys that if they're in and the ball's in their hands, it's going up.
Well, and the thing I look at too, you mentioned a minute ago about taking care of the basketball. Walker, 94 assists and 45 turnovers. Malik Hall, 66 assists, 41 turnovers. Hoggard, you know, that guard, 171 assists and 56 turnovers.
Good heavens.
I mean, so their assist-to-turnover ratio, they do not have many wasted – they may miss shots, but they don't have many wasted possessions. And that's, like I said, that's the thing that kind of bothers me is we have a propensity to turn the basketball over. Anybody that has minutes, let's say Carson Cooper has started six games, and he's playing 17 minutes a ball game. He's got 15 assists and 26 turnovers. He's the only guy on the negative side of the bubble that has meaningful minutes.
But Cooper gets more minutes because he's one of the best rebounders on the team. When he's in the game, he's grabbing, you know, he's in top 200 country in terms of rebound rate, whether it's offensive or defensive. In Michigan State, it feels like a team to me that you have to evaluate based on rate, not on raw data. Meaning, you look at that 18 points a game and you say, all right, man, Tyson Walker, that's cool, but a lot of other guys are averaging 18 across the country. Not a lot of guys, though, are averaging 18 when your team's only scoring 73 a game.
Yeah, that's true there. All right, here's the thing we haven't talked about, the coaching in this basketball game. When you get in an 8-9 game and it's, you know, a 2.5-point spread or a 1.5-point spread, it's 1.5 right now. I think Michigan State is favored by 1.5 right now. Chris Jans has been in the NCAA tournament. He has coached in the NCAA tournament. He had a good run a couple of years ago at New Mexico State. Last year, you played a very close basketball game up in Dayton. Tom Izzo, when you look over his career, Michigan State has played 27 games in the NCAA tournament where the spread was 3 or fewer. And do you know how many times out of those 27 games they have won straight up in those tight games going in? He is 18-9. So these are two coaches. Now, Izzo has been around for a long time. They've gone to 26 straight NCAA tournaments. So he's used to it. But Chris Jans has coached the NCAA tournament, too, in close games.
No, he certainly has had that big win. I'll tell you one thing that Chris Jans has accomplished, though, that I'm betting Tom Izzo has not. And I haven't looked at the numbers on this. You can verify. But I know for a fact that Chris Jans has had country pleasing sausage. And I'm betting that Tom Izzo has not. And you know what? That just is a mark against anybody.
That's a winner. It makes him a winner.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
Yeah.
In a game where it can come down to the fine line.
But has Chris Jans had the jalapeno cheddar?
Oh, he has.
He has a jalapeno cheddar?
He has indeed.
Okay. So
he's also had Strange Brew coffee.
Has he really? So country pleasings made right here in the state of Mississippi, down in Florence at the Country Meat Packers. Go by the butcher shop down there and get that award-winning sausage at Chris Jans. It may take some with him over to Charlotte. But you can actually get country pleasing in North Carolina now and in South Carolina. They've moved kind of the eastern seaboard up through the Midwest, now over to Texas, and so it's a growing brand.
Seaboard is very meteorological term, isn't it?
Yeah, I just said the first thing came to my mind.
It just seems like Willard Scott might be talking about the eastern seaboard.
Yeah, but I really didn't put a whole lot of thought into what I just said. Okay. I really didn't. Okay. Also, Strange Brew Coffee. You mentioned Strange Brew, and I'm drinking Strange Brew Coffee right now at this late hour, Charlie, after we have just broadcast a big baseball win.
And I made it for you, and it is straight black.
Straight black because you don't have any cream and sugar around here.
No.
None. None whatsoever.
It's like cream and sugar to coffee is like AstroTurf to the grass baseball field. But I'm not going to go down that path yet. We'll talk about that more on our baseball show that we'll be dropping here later.
And we're just talking about foul territory. We're not talking about around the plate.
But
you're talking about all AstroTurf or artificial turf.
No, like the artificial turf at home plate is more like the Starbucks of the world.
Yeah, it just means it's over. It looks good, but it ain't.
Yeah.
You know, it has that appeal to get you in the door, and then you realize
I just spent a lot of money on this for no real reason.
It's not very good. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. They'll ship you that great coffee here in Starkville on Spring Street and Highway 12. They're also in Tupelo and now in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Our good friends at Strange Brew Coffee House.
All right, what's your feel on this? If we win this game, what is true?
If we win this game, we've taken care of the basketball. I really feel good about this ball game. I really do. Just looking at Michigan State, they played a lot of close games this year. This is not one of Tom Izzo's great teams. They won the national championship with Mateen Cleaves in 2000. They have been a constant in the NCAA tournament. They did not feel great about getting into the tournament. And so brass tacks at the end of the day, this ain't Michigan State of last year or the year before or when they've been really good. I think we're playing with a little bit of confidence. Here's the thing you can't do. You can't come out and give up driving layups, and you can't get down by 10, 12, 15 points early because this is not a team you crawl back against.
All right, one of the things that you brought up the other day, when you start getting regional in games, and basketball officials travel more, they get around, so it's not like necessarily the SEC umpire, right? I mean, these guys will work a game somewhere else one night, being here on a Wednesday. But different parts of the country, the ball games can be called differently. Officiating, and in particular, what do they do in our guards? You know, I think back to the game out at Texas A&M. There's a couple of times Hubbard got called for fouls. It didn't feel like he was even in the picture of the guy getting fouled or allegedly being fouled. You start to look for things that can change the game in a hurry. It seems to me that Josh Hubbard getting in foul trouble could be an issue. And if you look at it, I mean, it's been an issue a couple of times, right?
Yeah, it has. And sometimes it's you're trying to get back on the defensive side and reaching in transition. This is a team that if they get turnovers, they're going to try to get out. This is the only time they really try to get out in transition is when they turn you over. And what happens in transition situations, Josh has gotten himself in some foul trouble trying to guard in transition.
Now and then, you got to give up the layup.
So every now and then, you got to give up the two. You can't turn the two into three. And there was a lot of times late in the year, especially in South Carolina, that it seemed like every foul that we fouled them, they were in the act of shooting. I don't think they took the ball out mostly at all after any kind of foul against South Carolina. There was really no hand check outside. It was always an and one, or they were going to the rim. And so you got to be really, really careful in this game. Cam Matthews cannot get two quick fouls in this game. DJ Jeffries cannot get two quick fouls in this game. But to answer your question, I actually feel good about this matchup.
I don't know. Look, man, it's just the reality of being in an 8-9 game.
Because what has given us trouble? Teams that are quick with guards off the dribble with dribble drive and getting to the rim. And I just don't see Michigan State being that team.
I want to go back to the thing you were talking a minute ago about Cam Matthews. Michigan State is a team, 21% of their scoring comes from their power forward, from that position, right? Doesn't that underscore, in particular, the need for Cam Matthews to stay on the floor and to be a defensive presence?
Oh, yeah.
30% of their offensive rebounds come from that position. Both these teams score more from the point guard position than anywhere else. Both are above average. We score 29% of our points from the point guard spot. Michigan State's 28. So a couple of teams that are in the top 25 in the country in terms of point allocation being at the guard spot. We get more of our points at the center spot than they do. Their guards rebound it, particularly on the offensive end, at a little higher rate than we do. That's going to be something to watch, too, is what degree do their guards get down there and just dig out an extra possession. Keep a possession alive by us kind of staying around and watching a little bit.
But I tell you what, though, after what we've played recently with Texas A&M and then, you know, Auburn's guards are really good. They're getting offensive rebounds. You know, of course, Anderson Garcia is not a guard, but the way he rebounds the basketball, we're kind of used to it. Here's what stuck out to me is Michigan State, when you look at their KenPom 18, net ranking 24, they didn't have a single quad three or quad four loss. They were 10-0 in quad three, quad four. They're 6-0 in quad three, 4-0 in quad four. Here's what they did do, though, is they lost all 14 of their games against quad one or two. They were 3-9 against quad one, but they had 6 quad two wins. They were 6-5 in quad two games. We were 4-9 in quad one games. We were 4-3 in quad two games. And so, you know, we didn't – of course, we were 13-1, had that one quad four loss against Southern earlier this year. And the thing that I look at that and what pops into my mind is the teams that you beat through the year, how good are they? And if there is a negative, when I look at our schedule, we haven't beaten many NCAA tournament teams.
When you look at it in our league, man, we didn't beat many teams who went to the tournament. I mean, can't you say we're really more of the team that kind of won the games we were supposed to win?
Yeah, that's kind of it.
I mean, we beat Auburn once. We beat Tennessee twice. Who else did we defeat that's in this tournament? Meaning within the league. That's
within
it,
the league,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's it. We beat Northwestern early in the year. But of all the teams that have made the NCAA tournament in the SEC this year, we have not fared just a whole lot of success in the general overall grand scheme. Now, we had some big wins against Tennessee and a big win against Auburn. But everybody else, that's the one thing that does bother me a little bit.
Well, I think the thing that just kind of naturally bothers me is when I look at Michigan State's losses, they're all very close. Of course, playing that slow kind of lends itself that way, doesn't it?
They're going to win close games. They're going to lose close games.
And, you know, there's some experience factor that goes on there. At the end of the day, you have to give the edge to Michigan State in terms of they've been here. They've basically been in every tournament in our lifetime. That's only a slight exaggeration. Certainly in my kids' lifetimes. What was the number that they've been to in a row? Was it 26?
26 in a row.
Counting, at least of the ones that were actually played. Nobody went in 20.
Right.
But you have to give them an edge there. I like to think we're just a little better team.
I think we are, too. I think we're a little bit better team. I think we're a better basketball team. I like our state script better than their state script.
Now, that I certainly do.
I do. And you know where you can get that state script sweatshirt?
Where is that?
At Maroon & Company. They have state script. They have the interlocking MSU. They got the old bold, banner M-State, if you just want that. All the logos, all Mississippi State stuff. They've got Bulldog Initiative gear at Maroon & Company in the Cotton Mill Marketplace, right by Chick-fil-A in Starkville, right next door to campus. So if you're a student, you don't have to go far at all to get that Maroon & Company sweatshirt. I got that one last week. I got a sweatshirt last week because I knew it was going to be cold in the baseball game. I wish I'd have had that sucker the other night because I got cold at the baseball game. And so our good friends at Maroon & Company, type in the code NIL10 if you go in the store or online at maroonandco.com, and they'll give you 10% off and send 5% to the Bulldog Initiative. All right, Charlie. 11:15 Mississippi time start on Thursday, back in the NCAA tournament against our Ag brethren from the state of Michigan, the Michigan State Spartans. And, hey, also need to talk about our good friends at Heartland Catfish. Heartland producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish you can possibly want. And it all started over in Itabena, Mississippi, all the way from their ponds to your plate. Go to heartlandcatfish.com, and you can see all the products that they have. If you have a restaurant and you want to serve great catfish, you can get your catfish from our friends at Heartland Catfish, just like they do at Legends in the Nashville area. Legends Steakhouse, they're in Columbia, Tennessee, Smyrna, Tennessee, down in Shelbyville, and then in Pulaski as well. It's the steakhouse. They have great steaks, but you just can't beat the catfish that they have at Legends Steakhouse. And they get it from our good friends at Heartland Catfish.
All right, last thing to hit on before we go. Just from an event perspective, is there anything better than the NCAA tournament?
I was talking about this today. I mean, I know a lot of people who are not even basketball fans that just love this week. And I do. I love it. I remember as a kid, used to spring break was the first couple rounds of the NCAA tournament. And so you were all for spring break, and you could watch basketball all day Thursday and all day Friday.
You know what I loved? Sports Illustrated. You could open it up right there to the middle. And they had the bracket. You take those staples out just so carefully.
Well,
you get the bracket out.
Sports Illustrated used to be a big deal, just like the Sunday Clarion Ledger used to be a big deal.
Man, Sports Illustrated is basically gone, right?
Well, I mean, didn't the Clarion – Well, I didn't say that. Hey, also, it's kind of an off weekend this weekend in Starkville, so a lot of people actually like to come into Starkville when you don't have a game going on because you can get into your restaurants. You know, you still need to worry about getting a reservation, and then baseball's here back in a couple
of
weeks.
Well, what's going to happen this weekend is, particularly if we're playing on Saturday, the local restaurants are going to be
buzzing,
jumping
with a lot of ball game of watching. And so go to Starkville.org. And the thing you can do at Starkville.org, places to stay, where to eat, where to shop, all the things going on. They got the calendar on there to let you know all the upcoming events for you. Next month, you've got Super Bowl all weekend in town, and there's just so many events coming on around Startville that entire week in the month of April. So go to Startville.org, Mississippi's college town.
All right. Well, Thursday, 11:15. If we win, I can bet you can find us on Twitter, perhaps running a Twitter space, maybe even recording a show. If we lose, I'm going to need a little time. But we will be back in touch. Baseball show will drop here probably later today, so be on the lookout for that. Until then, well, I should start say see you Sunday. I'll see you at the baseball show.